Hello and welcome to the Voices of Awareness podcast, where we're listening to the pioneers of authentic cultural change. My name is Andy Taylor. This first series focuses on the abuse of children by clergy and the consequent global cover-up of those abuses. Today we're listening to Bishop Pat Buckley, author of A Thorn in the Side. Bishop Buckley is admired throughout the world as a defender of people who are marginalised by the Roman Catholic Church. Today he's an anti-abuse campaigner and exposes the hypocrisies of the cover-up culture. Here's Pat talking about Ireland today.
So what has happened though, since all the abuse has started coming out in the last 20 or plus years? The Irish population is gradually turning on the Catholic Church.
In what way?
Criticizing them, not going to church, not giving them any money. Mm-hmm. If you wear a clerical collar now in the street in Dublin, at least 10 people will shout paedophile at you.
Whoa.
So Ireland is becoming very anti-clerical, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, I'm just noticing a little tinge of sadness that I'm feeling for the clergy who had nothing to do with all that, who actually went into the priesthood, you know, for spiritual reasons, and are now being tarred with the same brush as people who really shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit like the situation in Germany after the Second World War. Most of the Germans were Nazis.
Right.
But they didn't speak out. And sometimes they helped to cover up.
Yeah.
And I think that priests who weren't part of the abuse itself stayed silent. People mistakenly think that the Catholic Church has learned its lessons on abuse and the cover-up of abuse. But it's a total lie. One of the things that illustrates that is that every diocese and every bishop and every religious order now have their own safeguarding officer. And these safeguarding officers are being paid up to £100,000 a year by the bishop or the order and have church credit cards for expenses.
Yeah.
So they're already compromised because you're being asked to investigate and find things against the wishes of your employer. And that's why those people who are saying that the church is not fit to do its own safeguarding are 100% correct. So what the church has done is it has spun a web of deceit, saying, we've got the message, and we've all these people looking after children now.
Yeah.
But these people are really looking after the church and its bosses.
Yeah.
Well, that is a strategy, and the people like Nichols and Jameson, who climbed to the top of the tree, are people who are being rewarded for services to Holy Mother Church.
Which makes them very dangerous leaders, in fact.
Very dangerous, yeah, very dangerous. They are kind of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, when they're having meals together and drinks, they, excuse the expression, they shit on all the other people, the lay people, lesser clerics, and they laugh about how they have shit on them.
That's hard to hear.
Yeah, but sadly, it's true. These men don't believe anything. If you're like that as a priest, and if you can heap shit on people and laugh at it, you know, you don't stop that when you get a new hat for your head.
In terms of the child sexual abuse crisis in the clergy,
in the church, the perpetrator was perceived as an unquestionably good person. And that then confuses the experience of a sexualization of a child.
Yeah. I myself was sexually abused at the age of 6 by a male neighbor. At the time and afterwards, as a child, I thought that I had done something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's only with a neighbor. Mm. But imagine, magnify that so many times then to you feeling like that about God's representative.
Yeah.
And you have the situation we're talking about. And maybe this will shock you. Some people are shocked when I say this, but there are still parents in Ireland and England and elsewhere. And if the parish priest came and said he was taking their 9-year-old son away for the weekend, they'd say, "Thank you, Father," and let him go.
That is very disturbing.
The priests of the present are predominantly homosexual. Now, in Ireland, for instance,
when you say they're homosexual, are you saying that they're out gay men?
No, they're active, but not out.
If you ask them, they wouldn't say that they're gay.
No, what they will do is, when they're being interviewed, they say ridiculous things like, "I would have loved to have had a wife and children, but God called me away to be for him only."
Right.
But it's all lies.
So it's like a cult of closeted gay men. I mean, monasteries and the Vatican.
Yeah.
Is that a fair, is that an oversimplification or?
Especially nowadays. When I came into my middle or late 30s, I had a crisis because, number one, the church wanted rid of me. And number two, I hadn't dealt with and integrated my sexuality.
Okay.
So I put myself into 5 years of very intensive psychotherapy.
Good.
And at the end of that 5 years, I became a new man because I'm the real me now. I'm not a man behind any mask.
Mm. Obviously, there's a lot of gay men who are in clergy, who are closeted, who are also now, you know, really agents in a large cover-up, a large corruption. What would you say to them to help them kind of understand the importance of the liberation of their own identity?
Well, no later than yesterday on my blog, I said to such a priest who had had a bad time from his archbishop, "Why didn't you tell him to fuck off?" And his reply was, "Because he pays my wages." You have all these men in their 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
With no training for anything else. Who are living in a church house, driving a church car, taking church wages.
Yeah.
And if they put their head above the parapet, they will lose it all.
Yeah. And then around them, there are other clergy and the laity and the congregation who are all being shamed and ridiculed.
Yeah.
For the fact that they're not able to get rid of the old wood, you know, and allow the church to move on and start being authentic and to really respond to the trauma that they created themselves.
Yeah, well, you see, these men, the gay men that we're talking about, they are not living authentic lives.
Yeah. A closeted gay man in a position of power who doesn't want to lose all that privilege is somebody who could be easily bribed to keep stum about abuse, because they wouldn't have wanted anyone to know about their closeted homosexuality. So in terms of the corruption, the closeted homosexual within the clergy is actually a very dangerous person.
Yeah, of course. And they allow themselves to be sent away to therapy centres to cure them of their homosexuality, etc.
Yeah.
They're basically allowing themselves to at least say out loud I am disordered. I am immoral. I am wrong. You see, one of the big things, I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, is priests in the past and the church in the past, they didn't think of abuse as a crime. They thought of it as a sin.
So the difference being a sin can be forgiven and a crime. A crime requires something to happen in order for justice to be restored.
Exactly. But with a sin, you can go to confession, even to another abuser, and he can absolve you. You come back as white as snow and just start all over again.
As a young gay Irish man in the 1970s, yeah.
1970 itself, yeah?
Yeah. So did you have affairs with other priests? I mean, how were you able to be yourself within the clergy as a priest?
I wasn't. I didn't have my first proper sexual encounter till I was in my mid-30s.
Once you'd left priesthood? Once you'd left the Roman Catholic priesthood, sorry.
Well, let's just say I was on the way out, yeah.
Right. And you're now an independent Catholic bishop.
Yeah. A number of people broke away, and that became known as the old Catholic Church. That they were the church before papal infallibility was ever proclaimed. So you have many churches and groups now in America, in Poland, in Germany, wherever, who regard themselves as independent Catholic. They want to be a Christian in the Catholic tradition, but not be part of the Roman Empire. The people who lead them will be answerable to the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the same structure or the same hierarchy or the same domination. As I told you, I'm still living in the house owned by the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Are you squatting or have they given you permission to be there?
Well, I was squatting for the first 25 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when the bishop sacked me, he asked me to move out.
Sure.
And I told him that having been with the church for so long, I felt I had a moral right to a roof over my head. So I told him if he wanted me out, he had to fucking evict me.
Mm.
And he didn't have the balls to do that. Here in Ireland and in Northern Ireland, I'm a kind of a little bit of a big fish in a small bowl, and my profile is quite public. I just want to try with my congregation and myself to be a little representation of the church as it should be.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've chosen to take a path that isn't conformist, but is actually challenging the edge of the kind of power imbalance between the church and their congregation and everyone else in the world.
Yeah. Well, I think I was fortunate, you know, because my father was a trade union official. And from the age of 3, I was on picket lines with him. So I was kind of brought up on picket lines.
So you grew up somatically really understanding the power of democracy, of people going out into the streets and saying, we want this, we don't want that.
Yeah.
That's obviously not something that that the congregation of the Roman Catholic Church are even allowed to experience, are they?
No, they're not.
How do you deal with the doubts and the kind of, you know, being demonized and being excluded and being convicted for what you believe is right? What effect has that been on you emotionally, and how have you dealt with it?
Well, I probably dealt with it by developing Crohn's disease, in the sense that my mind is so strong, the only way negativity could get me was to go for my body. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot of strong people. I remember a doctor telling me years ago, had you been capable of a good nervous breakdown, you'd never have had Crohn's disease. I get hate mail every single day of my life.
That's awful.
When I turn on my blog in the morning,
yeah,
I get at least 10 messages of absolute hate.
Do you know who they're from?
Generally, I suspect they're from priests.
And what do they say?
Well, do you know I have HIV? Did you read that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have HIV for 20 years now, but I'm very well.
Yeah.
As you know, because of the new drugs, I'm very well. But priests call me every night an AIDS-ridden fucker.
That's so hateful. What other names do they call you?
Well, obviously they call me a queer. They call me a nutcase. They call me everything they can, and they hate me for my blog and how I'm exposing the church. And I've had letters from Catholic people saying, I offered up my communion today for God to give you cancer.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I get letters to my house sometimes. My address is 6 Prince's Gardens, so I get letters addressed to Satan, 6 Prince's Gardens.
And this is because of your exposing of clerical abuse?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
The blog is read all over the world. There have been times when my life has been threatened. I've had to let the police know that I've been threatened. And in those times, the police keep an extra eye on my house.
Good.
And recently, people have been threatening to burn my house down when I'm asleep, and stuff like that. So, but anyway, I'm very strong, and I have this feeling that if you're getting such opposition, you're making progress. Somebody years ago gave me a poster with a tortoise on it, and it said, "Behold the humble tortoise who only makes progress when he sticks his neck out."
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you've stuck your neck out.
The higher you build your barriers, the taller I become. The further you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no, something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong. The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing. Lies will come tumbling down. Deny my place in time. You squander wealth that's mine. My light will shine so bright it will blind you. Because there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no, something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong. Brothers and not good enough.
Yuzo Pigelela, Yuzo Pigelela.